you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
What did the boy volcano say to the girl volcano? I really lava you. Welcome back to Chats with Bree. We are back again with another exciting episode, this time with special guest Mia. Hello, Mia. Welcome.
Hello.
So, just to get to know Mia, before we get into the exciting questions that you've all sent in, I'm going to ask her three quick random questions that I do not know what they are yet, and we're going to get to know her. So, Mia, what is your all-time favourite bird?
Oh, it has to be a fantail.
Nice. They're very pretty, aren't they?
They are.
That is true. And if you could be any number plate to represent who you are, what would the number plate be? So if you were a car and you had a number plate, what would it be?
Oh, it's got to be some sort of like subtle Christian thing.
Nice, but
I can't think of
one. They're still cool though. Final question to get to know you. If you could be any part of the road, what would it be? Like, would you be the corner of the road? Would you be like the footpath, the like center of the road?
I think I would be a roundabout, like helping traffic flow. And helping people get on their way and carry on with their lives.
Nice, yeah. But like a proper roundabout, not those stupid ones that have popped up that everyone just drives
over. A proper one that will actually scrape your car if you dare break the rules.
Nice. I did have a car scraping incident the other day. But it wasn't a roundabout, that was another thing I shouldn't have been driving over. Awesome. So let's get into the questions. Now remember, you guys can send your questions in to tiny.cc/chatswithbree.
Chats with Bree.
Exactly. So exciting. I love getting the questions. I love answering them with my fantastic guests. So let's get right into it. The first question today that we've picked out is, hi, what is the best music to listen to while cleaning one's flat? Please also include a link to the DCBC Spotify playlist. No one will share with me. Firstly, that's super sad no one's going to share that with you. I'll chuck the link for my collaborative DCBC playlist in the description.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of best music to cleaning to while seeing the one's flat, what do you think, Mia?
Well, I have to do a little shameless self-promotion here because I have a playlist that you can find. It's called Dance Around the Kitchen.
Ooh, nice.
And it is full of good jams that you can groove to while you clean and while you cook and when you generally need a good pick-me-up.
Nice.
Yes, I usually find something with a good beat that you can't not dance to is good.
That sounds really cool. I'm definitely going to try the next time I clean my room. Well, I'll chuck that in the description as well if you want to follow that playlist. The playlist I listen to when I clean, and to be honest, I don't clean that often. So, I mean, I don't have to think about it too much, but I just listen to my favourite playlist, which is like my only playlist I made, which is called 2 AM. And it has...
I've had a look through the music on that playlist. It's really good.
It is a great playlist.
Yeah, it's got
everything on it.
I do like how you've called it 2 AM just because the first song is called 2 AM.
Yeah, so pretty much I liked the song, and so I wanted to put it in a playlist, but I didn't have any playlists.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know how Spotify automatically called it 2 AM by whoever it's by.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just ended up changing it and adding capitals, and it's great. Awesome. Cool. So, enjoy your cleaning, everyone. The second question we've got is... How solid is your rock? How solid is your rock, Mia?
Oh, well, I mean, talking about sleeping, I'm a little low on the sleep department at the moment, so I'd probably be as solid as like a pumice and just floating around and not really getting anywhere.
I reckon I'm probably like as solid as a Moraki boulder, like quite round, a bit cracked, but like everyone wants, you know, see you.
Everyone wants to see
you. Everyone wants to see you.
You are the
which
star
makes
of
me,
the show.
Which makes me tired because I hang out with too many people. Like them, they're getting tired and cracked.
Mm.
Although sometimes, you know, I feel like I'm a schist. Like it's all nice and all good on the outside, but really it's just crumbly and useless.
Oh, and then linking it back to driving, when you do scrape your car, you then turn into a bit of a volcanic.
Then I'm a bit ready explosive. To I don't feel like our rocks aren't that solid. I wouldn't build a house on any of our rocks.
I'm not a very foundational rock.
Volcanic rock is the foundation for a house.
I mean, if you like to live a life on the edge,
that's true.
And join my volcanic
rock lava. The next question we have is, how do I deal with annoying flatmates?
Well, how many different flats have you been in, Brie?
Only two.
I will not list out how many flatmates I've lived with. But I will say, the first thing, never, ever, ever go down the sticky note path. The passive-aggressive sticky note path is one that just leads to absolute chaos and ruin and more unsettled, unsimmering under the surface anger than you need. Usually you just need to be straight with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to hold into both hands. There's one, being honest. And on the other side, you need to be kind.
Mm.
And, yeah, I'd say I've probably been an annoying flatmate. I know that there's some people at church who I've lived with. There's some people at church who I've lived with who would definitely testify to that. Because, especially when I was studying, I had a really big tendency to stay up until 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. and then, you know, be like, I'm hungry, and start cooking, and then I can't sleep without a shower, so then I'd have a shower at 3:30 a.m.
Yeah, I've definitely been an annoying flatmate, and I've definitely had annoying flatmates, but I think the one thing I've learned, especially between second year, because I'm only third year, so it's only my second year flatting, the big thing I've learned between second year and third year, when I'm getting annoyed at my flatmates, which is usually things that aren't even that annoying, I'm just getting annoyed at them, is to just, like, putting it in perspective and realising that actually it's not a big deal what I'm annoyed at. Like,
yes. And also, if you can find out about what people's buttons are, like, what triggers can you actually be kind and avoid for them,
definitely.
And then explain your triggers to them. So finding out what your triggers are is really important.
And not letting it simmer, I think, as well. Like, I think it can be very toxic when there's a flatmate that's annoying you and then you're, like, talking about it with your friends all the time, or even other flatmates. And I just think that's super toxic. It feels good at the time, but it ends up just making things way worse.
Yes, venting within the flat about other flatmates is not a good idea.
Cool. Okay, next question. In a recent podcast, you and Dave T, so that was episode 9, which was a wee while ago now, suggested that compatibility is key. What makes two people compatible? Well, what do you think, Mia?
There's so much you can get into here.
Absolutely.
Well, based on my, you know, many years of experience, I would have to say having fun is really key.
Yeah.
And I've read and, like, watched quite a few things that talk about all these different things that are important when you're compatible. Actually fulfilling some sort of mystical list of attributes is not one of them. But being able to have fun is actually really important, especially if you're able to make each other laugh and find humour, you know, nice humour, not ripping into each other humour in the middle of, like, serious situations.
Yeah.
Because life is not just all happy and honeymoon period.
It is not.
Like, if it's going to be a long-term relationship, there's going to be hard stuff.
Yeah.
And someone who, in the midst of the hard stuff, can still bring out fun and help you laugh, I think it would be really good. Anything?
I definitely think it's very important as well that you're on similar, like, levels. Like, for me, I personally wouldn't date a non-Christian because I just think that's such a key part of my life that it would make me incompatible with someone who's not.
I've had that, been working out, like, some way of explaining that, and I found a really good metaphor there is that how what you believe is your framework, and if your faith is really linked into your framework, and then you are therefore working out, like, figuring things out based on that framework, and if you're trying to be compatible and have a relationship with someone who has a different framework, they literally will not understand
exactly
at that core level, so that
would
just make it really hard.
And also to want to, like, support each other and want to grow I think wanting to grow together is very important,
and helping
as well.
And helping each other grow towards God.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, at the end of the day, it comes down to the fact, I don't think there's the one out there. There's not the one out
no,
there.
No, I don't agree
And I
with
think
that.
You can make, I say this very broadly, but you can technically make a relationship with anyone work if God's at the centre. It means it's a lot harder with some people. But I do think that it's what you put into the relationship is what you're going to get out. So I wouldn't focus too much on if you've got the right hair colour to be compatible and stuff like that.
That's really
it's so
important.
Much more deeper in what you're willing to put into the relationship and work out.
But I am all for hanging out together and seeing.
Exactly.
You know, you need to find out about the person.
You do, definitely. And group situations, friendships.
Yeah.
is always great to do that. Good old love. The next question that is kind of love related as well. When should you make your Facebook relationship official? How do you tell people in a non-awkward way? And they've also said in brackets, I know you have lots of experience, lol. Thank you. I'm obviously very experienced at making my...
I am so experienced too.
Yeah,
all the many relationships.
So I've been in many, many relationships. But when should you make the relationship Facebook official? What do you think, Mia?
How about never?
But then what, everyone just thinks you're single and then they slide into your DM.
Is that a big deal?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if it's a good relationship, number one, you're not going to care about people sliding into your DMs. And the other person won't care because you both know that what you have in real life is completely separate to all the social media rubbish.
Yeah.
But also, like, why is there this culture of needing to put my big life achievement on social media? Yeah. I just kind of don't understand it. And I'm quite a fan of, as much as, okay, like, just putting out there, like, as much as little young using Bebo me really, really was like longing to have a status update of my relationship status. Yeah. Actually, I've completely flipped around and I reckon don't even bother sharing an engagement post. Is like, yeah, that's cool if you want to share that, especially if you've got a lot of friends and family who are overseas and out of town and you don't see them day to day. But yeah, that's kind of the only point I can think of for sharing something like that on social media.
Yeah.
Only if you actually have people out there who you don't see day to day to share with.
Yeah.
But other than that,
I can't do it. I think I agree. Like, probably engagement, I think that... is probably a good time.
Oh, you do get cute photos.
You do get cute photos, and then, you know, everyone can kind of know. But I definitely don't think I would update my relationship status on Facebook from just single to in a relationship.
Do you even have yours saying you're single? Because I think I hid that feature on mine.
I think I've got it hidden. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
I think I've just not bothered to advertise my relationship status.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's hidden. And I think there's another thing as well. If you do not have it hidden and you do get in a relationship, why don't you can just hide that feature so it doesn't come up as single. Awkward if you do break up and then you have to unchange that status. Just don't bother. Especially not at the start of a relationship.
Oh, yeah, definitely not early on. Don't even post photos of you two together.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, take the challenge of keeping it, not a secret, but, like, just keeping it offline.
Yeah, yeah. Until, like, you know, obviously you've been together for quite a while.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I like that. There's a cool challenge. Yeah. If you're in a relationship.
You're welcome, Brie, to hold me to this. If I ever end up posting, like, a couple photo. And you can be like, so how long have you been dating?
Okay, how long have you been dating? Oh, so good. The next question is, how to do procrastinating.
Oh, my goodness.
There are so many ways you can do procrastinating.
And they've got really good names. You can procrastinate.
Procrastinate.
You can procrastinate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any others to add there?
Okay, so like each exam period, I kind of realise that it's something different every exam period.
Yes, I had that too.
Yeah. So like last year, the first exam period was cross-stitch.
Mm-hmm.
So I had got a cross-stitch once and I had worked on it for maybe like an hour. For the whole 6 months previous that I had it. I did so much of that during that exam period. Like, I even took it to the library one day. Mm-hmm. Big regrets. I did it for, like, 3 hours just sitting there at the desk. Not too bad. Then I had to, like, give it to my flatmate and was like, don't give it to me till after exams. The next exam period was Candy Crush. I had to, obviously, delete Candy Crush from my phone and the... Because you can get the app on the computer, so delete both of those.
Oh, you had
but
it
you can, yeah. You can also get onto it on Facebook, obviously. So I had to... So on my Chrome, which is what I use all the time, I have, like, a stay focused thing, so I only get 10 minutes a day or 15, whatever, on Facebook and stuff.
Does that work?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You can change it, though, and sometimes I change it, which is bad. But when I'm actually studying, I, like, don't tend not to change it.
Yeah.
So that was fine, but on Internet Explorer... So I never use Internet Explorer or Microsoft Edge, whatever it's called. So I had to download a thing so that I could delete Microsoft Edge, so I can't get onto it on my laptop. So that's where I was last. And then this current one.
Like, it sounds like you took steps.
Yeah, I took steps. I have to take steps.
Multiple
steps. The only problem is the one I had last exam period. The issue's become Messenger. So I'm addicted. Or I procrastinate by thinking about things to message people about. It's never like, hey, It's just like a...
Do you do, like, full-on stories and rants and...
No.
No?
I don't even know what I send to people. But there was days I was hitting, like, I think one day I hit 24 conversations on Messenger. Like, it was an average of, like, 15 a day. I don't even know what about. And I would just... And group chats.
Get off your phone.
No, it's not even on my phone, though. That's the problem.
Get off Messenger.
It's... The problem is, so I had a Messenger app on my computer. So I deleted that, obviously.
Yeah.
So I still couldn't get on. And then... But then I found out about Messenger.com.
So I can get on Messenger out about these things.
Without having to go onto Facebook. It's so bad. And
that
you can't just
bad.
You can't just delete Messenger because...
Yeah. See, my procrastination techniques that I would also obsess over something every exam period, and it's quite interesting to look back and see how hilarious it was, because I had, there was one semester I had a period of obsessing over a particular K-pop band that didn't even exist anymore by the time I found them, but I just knew everything about them, and then there was... Oh, it was probably longer than one semester. It was probably a whole year where I got really into the WWE Diva Championships, and I knew all about every single, all the details about every single female wrestler at that point in time, and I was really following the story of Paige, who was a British wrestler, and she'd gone over to America, and she was just real kick-ass. And,
nice.
And she was really cool.
Yeah.
Because she wore purple and black and studs, and she, like, made it herself out to look quite goth. And then she was actually a lot smaller than a lot of the American wrestlers, and she would just get them. And I know it's all for show, but it was also really inspiring, and I never got around to actually working out.
Nice. Yeah, there is so many ways to do procrastination.
Yes. One to avoid, because it's terrible for your bank account, is procrastinating spending.
Oh, yeah.
The online shopping is not good.
Don't do it.
Do not do it. As much as ASOS lures you in with their free international shipping, or Book Depository lures you in with their free international shipping, don't do it.
Last question. Any tips for sleeping?
Oh, well, Brie, what do you have covering your lap right now?
Oh, I don't know. I feel very relaxed. I think it's like some kind of weighted blanket, one might say.
Yes, it is. I recently purchased this, talking about online spending that you shouldn't do. but I had been looking into how to help myself sleep. Because a lot of my lack of sleep is self-inflicted with staying online and things. But a lot of it also isn't. And... it's not full insomnia, but just the fact that I'm self-employed and I've got so much stuff to think about. My brain doesn't calm down. So, yeah, should we trade tip for tip for tip?
Yeah.
My first tip would be get a weighted blanket. I am all for these. It's basically your blanket's giving you a hug. It's very calming. There are many studies into the sensory side of it. But I will put it out there, it's not just if you have something on some spectrum of, like, ADHD or anything. It's also just really nice to have that weight.
Yeah, I think I even, like, I don't have a weighted blanket, but I have a lot of blankets on my bed, which I think helps.
Yeah.
Something I've got real into getting to sleep, like, sometimes I used to listen to, like, it'd be a song I put up super loud and go to sleep. Which I think I've seen...
Super loud?
Super loud. For just one song, and then it just turns off, and then you just go to sleep. But that stopped working because I'd done it so much. So lately, so I spent a bit too much money on this audio Bible app that I thought I needed. But to be honest, I just never get around to listening to it because I prefer to read. But I've recently discovered that I have these, so they have plans on the app. And I'll just listen to like a plan that has like a 10-minute thing each night. And then I'll just listen to that on my speaker really quietly. Because it's really nice. Like, it's, like, got background music and you can change who's talking. It's called Dwell, if anyone wants to try it out. It's a really good app. But, yeah, I just put on... At the moment, I'm going through the New Testament in 90 days. So I listened to a bit of Matthew for 10 minutes last night. So I put it on and go to sleep as I'm listening. So I usually don't listen to the whole thing because I'm asleep by the end.
Yes.
But, yeah, so I found that really good lately.
How are these partial biblical truths helping you in your next day?
I don't really remember them the next day, but I did find, the first one I did was Romans. It was really cool to go to sleep thinking about, like, obviously Romans is great, you know, just thinking about some of that stuff. Yeah, usually I don't remember it the next day, and I definitely would not substitute that for actual Bible reading time. But it is really nice to go to sleep listening to God's word. So I found that really cool lately.
Yeah, I've been doing a mix of either listening to ASMR, which I know you don't like.
I only have views.
There is a lot of weird stuff out there, but there are some that work and they're not creepy and they're not weird. And I just find it's the same as like sitting in a cafe and being able to have that ambient cafe noise. I have also tried like finding apps and things for that kind of noise as well, or rainforest kind of sounds. But I found ASMR really helped because it was quiet. Like, it's intentionally quiet, obviously.
The other tip for sleeping is, I know it's so hard to do and I definitely am not good at doing it, but trying to limit the time on your phone before bed.
Screen.
Definitely not going on your phone and then going to sleep. Because I definitely find it takes me way longer to get to sleep when I do that. Yeah. Even I've added in just like 15 minutes of reading before I put on the Bible app, which kind of has been quite good to just like... And not checking your phone in that time if you've got messages. Because as previously discussed...
There was a period where I had to actually put my phone on flight mode and just make sure that it was off. It is a good idea to try different things, but make sure you try them consistently for, you know, at least a week, where every night in that week you did the same thing.
Awesome. Well, it has been so great recording the podcast with you, Mia. Very exciting. Awesome. Please do ask more questions, guys. tiny.cc/chatswithbree And you can also leave feedback, because I love hearing you guys' feedback, at tiny.cc/chatswithbreefeedback
What inventive names.
I know. I made it easy for you guys. Yes. Catchy. So please ask questions. Please leave feedback. And I look forward to talking to you guys again soon. Awesome.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
See you guys.